Well, tonight I wanted to take something that we all do or have in life and make a comparison out of God's Word. And I trust you guys will enjoy this and you will see here in a moment. But let me ask you a question before we get started. Do any of you or do you have an insurance policy of one kind or another? You don't have insurance? There's auto insurance. You have auto? Hello. There's health insurance and others. Okay? Now, the next question I have for you is, does it make you feel warm and cozy inside?
No.
If it does, I'll talk to you after fellowship. Okay? Probably not. But here's a way that I came up with to look at it. Insurance is like being under the law, and actually it is. We have to renew it from time to time, or else when we need it, we won't be forgiven. I've been down that road. But more important than that, let's look at assurance, okay? Assurance. We look at it as being under God's grace, assurance, okay? And when we need comforting, we are assured of the best care that we could ever have, and that's God's assurance, all right? Insurance is a numbers thing. It's a, who can I get to sign up for this, and your premiums are going to go up, or you've had too many violations, so we're going to do this and that. Not with God's assurance. God is always there to assure us in our heart of hearts who we are, what we have, and what he'll do for us, okay? Here are three of Webster's definitions of this word assurance, which I thought, like they took it out of the Bible, but nonetheless, it's Webster's. The first one says, a positive declaration intended to give confidence. Number two, a promise. Does God give promises?
No.
Absolutely. It's a promise or pledge, guarantee, surety. And then number three, full confidence, freedom from doubt, certainty. So in this life, why would anyone want to live without God's assurance policy? It's rhetorical, but still, I pose that question. Basically, it's foolishness. It really is. It's foolishness. Please, let's go and see some of this assurance God talks about in his word, in his perfect word, mind you, and let's hear God's help and encouragement to others as well. So for this, the first place we're going to go to tonight is in the Old Testament, Isaiah 32:17. As I go there, Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 17. And the work of righteousness. Righteousness is right living, doing it God's way. Okay? And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness. And what?
Assurance.
For how long?
Forever.
Forever. And so when we go there, we know that there's an abundance of God's assurance for our lives. Now go to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2. Yeah, God, what he wants for us to know is that, I said Colossians?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2:2. He wants us to know in our hearts the full assurance of what he does. So much so that this verse reads, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance. God's into giving us full, not half, not 75%, but full. Unto the full riches, the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery God and of the Father and of Christ. God reveals in his word, and he does that so that we can be assured in our hearts that we have these promises. We are assured in our hearts that he's going to take care of us, that he is taking care of us, that he has taken care of us. See, so that's what this assurance is all about, for us to know this in the depths of our heart. Also, we'll read when Paul was speaking to the Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, please. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Remember, he's speaking to the Thessalonian church, but we have the same ability in our lives. And labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God our Father. God's looking at you, you know, and when you do those things, he's got a big smile, you know. Verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. God's for us. Who can be against us, right? And then verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in what? Power. 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 Don't underestimate God's power. It's in power and the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. In much assurance. As you know, what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So, we have this to look forward to, not just for today, but for our whole lives. And you can read about this in his word. There's a lot of things that assure us in his word that you're in the right place. You are the right son or daughter of God. You are worshiping the one true God. So that's how we tap into this. Man, unfortunately, is blinded by his very own five senses world. We're bombarded with different things we can see, we can hear, we can smell, we can taste, and we can touch. The evil one uses those. He's got a tool with your name on it in his tool shed. He knows what you're going to be drawn to. But no, life is spiritual. Okay, so that's the unfortunate thing about man being blinded by his own five senses world. And therefore, man misses out on God's assurance. Plain and simple. He misses out on God's assurance, which is not our home anyway. We're just passing through. Think of the distractions this way. Imagine the world we live in is a body of water, okay? The world we live in is a body of water. Now, as long as we think like the world, we are underwater, okay? We don't see the big picture with clarity. So what does one do? We need to rise above the water. We need to rise above the water, all right? And above the water line and truly see with our spiritual eyes what the world doesn't want us to see and what God does want us to see. Look at, and I'm reading this out of the Amplified. Look at 2 Peter 2:20, please. I thought this is a very, very wonderful verse that we can all relate to. 2 Peter 2:20 says, For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the full personal knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again become entangled in them and are overcome. Their last condition is worse for them than the first. So they came to a knowledge of Jesus Christ and were fine, but they allowed themselves to take their focus off what really matters and get tangled back in the world's junk. So they're worse off than they were at the beginning. And that's how this world operates. But we know from God's word that we are to keep our focus on him, so that we don't get caught up or tangled up in the junk this world throws at you. And it can be very subtle, as we've seen. Some interesting and enlightening versions of this and a commentary that I'm going to read to you. But the first one is in the NASB, 2 Peter 2:20, and it reads like this. For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, and that's what we want, that knowledge, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them, and are overcome. The last fate has become worse for them than the first. Phillips puts it this way. If men have escaped from the world's contaminations through knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's the good part right there, okay? And then become entangled and defeated all over again, their last position is far worse than the first. Check the commentary out. A religious education has restrained many whom the grace of God has not renewed. They get caught up in religion or the world stuff, and God's trying to help us renew our minds. If we receive the light of the truth and have an assumed knowledge of Christ in our heads, it may be of some present service to us. But we must receive the love of the truth and hide God's word in our hearts, or it will not sanctify or save us. Plain and simple. It's not complicated. It's plain and simple. So you could say that we need to walk on water. We need to walk on water. So where do we put our trust? God makes this available for all mankind, just as Peter did, but was pulled under the waterline by the world's distractions and pollutions, looking at everything around him, which caused him to sink. We just really need to keep our focus on above. And again, God's assurance. Amen? For we have overcome the world's challenges. We get challenges day in and day out. But we are above that. We are above the waterline, okay? And we focus our attention on God. And then he sends us this assurance. Let's see where this word we just read, overcome, is used as a reminder and declaration. Please, and we've seen this verse before, but let's read it. Please go to 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children. Who is that referring to? Us. You and I. And have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You talk about distractions. You talk about the five senses view of things. There it is right there in a nutshell. But God, being a loving father, puts that in us to remind us, hey, don't go that way, because look who you are. If we can read this and see this in God's word, then it's true. All of God's word is true. If you don't believe that, then why even read it? It starts with believing. Faith starts with believing, okay? In closing, let's see what God, our Father, says about the assurance he has given us through Jesus Christ, our Savior, our hope, and our full assurance. And for this, please turn to Acts 17:31. Thank you for your patience. Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. There's that righteousness again. By that man whom he ordained. And who is that man? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Whereof he hath given assurance unto some people. He's given assurance unto 25% of humanity. What is it? Oh, I'm not reading it. He's given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead, speaking of Jesus Christ. And because our Heavenly Father has done that, then it opens the floodgates for us to receive the full assurance in our lives, to have the peace the world could not give us. But God can, and he does. He does. I know he does. Let us never forget that this assurance was paid for our sakes. It was paid for our sakes. And is guiding us all the way through eternity. All the way through eternity. Because God loves his family. if you have a bad day and someone says, you can always know that God loves you. God loves you. Okay? And that's what it's all about. By the way, this assurance is part of, that we've been looking at lately, the relationship we have with the Father. It's part of the relationship we have with the Father, this assurance. God gives us only the best. God doesn't have a china cabinet. The best dishes are out there every time. Okay? He doesn't use paper straws. He uses golden straws. Okay? We have His very best. And like the verse we read, which is up on the screen, and the work of the righteous shall be peace, and the effect of the righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. Amen?
Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, thank You so much for giving us this full assurance in our hearts that no matter how hard we believe or see that our day is going, we just take in a deep breath and look to You knowing that Your assurance will overcome the stuff that's around us. And besides that, like we heard in the manifestations, it's temporary. It's temporary. And so, Father, help us to prioritize what we think and believe in our lives. First of all, You, Father, and the assurance You give us and the love You give us with this relationship we have. So I just thank You for each individual's heart in this room and on the Believer's Line, on WhatsApp, Facebook, however, each person, that they can know tonight as they pillow their heads that they have the assurance of the Almighty Creator of this universe. And what better assurance could you receive than that? Not insurance, but assurance. So it's in Jesus Christ's name that I pray. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen.